So our topics on intercession, we won't preach long today. We can pick this up in a couple weeks after Back to Church Sunday. But we learned last week that our salvation is from the Jews. If it wasn't for the Jews, there would be no Bible. There wouldn't be any apostles. There wouldn't be any epistles. We wouldn't have anything. Salvation is from the Jews, and we've received our spiritual inheritance through our father Abraham. Amen? And so it's important that we pray for Israel. And if you don't have your proclamation card, if you haven't received one, we have extras here. And if an usher will come and hand these out. These are our proclamations this month, every month we have a new card. And our proclamations are for Israel. And so we're going to get started on the first slide. And there's four proclamations we're going to say together. So let's read this together. Jeremiah 31:10. He who scattered Israel is gathering him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Psalm 129, 5 through 6. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Psalm 55:9, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Psalm 125:3, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. And last week, we talked about how God assigned Israel the land of Jerusalem, and that is God's land. Israel, Jerusalem, it is God's land. Man has divided it up. The United Nations has divided it. However, it still belongs to God. And what will God do? He says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. So we know that ultimately, in the end, that land is going to be completely Israel's. Let's go on to our next scripture. Psalm 122:6, let's read it together. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. This is a key, especially in the end times, that we align ourselves with the purposes of God. The end times all hinge upon Israel. That is why this little nation is the highlight continually around the world. Every day you hear something about Israel. And it is just a little tiny speck when you consider all of the nations and the populations and the land that is in other places. But Israel, the world's eyes are on Israel because God's eye is on Israel. And what happens in Israel is contingent upon what is happening in the end times. And so we as Christians are to have a love for Israel. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in doing that, we will prosper. We prosper when we align ourselves with the plans God has for Israel. So intercession. We'll spend a little bit of time on intercession this morning. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Let's read that together. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy about the importance of supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks for all men. And intercession, go to the next slide, please. All right, right there. That's the one I want. So the points are, in our assembling together as Christians, prayer is primary. One main form of prayer is intercession. And to actually intercede in both the Greek and the Hebrew means to come in between. The intercessor is one who stands between God and those who justly deserve God's wrath and judgment. And you find examples of intercessors in the Old Testament. And we're going to just take a quick look at Abraham, because Abraham stood before God. Genesis 17 or 18 verses 17 through 18 says, read it with me, please. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now you see, Abraham was standing before God. And if you remember in Amos 3:7, the Lord said that he does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to the prophets. So God says, I can't keep Abraham in secret about what I'm about to do. I've got to let him know. All right, let's go on and let's read this. Then the men turned away from there and towards Sodom. Before we read on, this is the chapter about Abraham standing in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. You see, everybody else walked away, but Abraham said, no, I'm putting myself right here. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to stand between man, this nation, and God Almighty. And Abraham came near and said, and he's talking to God, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You see, Abraham is asking God because he knows that God is not going to slay the righteous with the wicked. He's reminding God of his word, because God was ready to kill them all. He was ready to wipe them out from the face of the earth. Let's read on. So the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham went on, and he continued to talk to God, and he kept lowering the amount of the righteous and lowering the amount of the righteous, until God agreed that if there was just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would not release his judgment against that city. Just 10. And many scholars have done historical research to see approximately how many people were in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the answer is about 10,000. About 10,000 people is what they've come up with. So you have 10,000 to 10. So if there is just one righteous man per 1,000 people, if you have an intercessor that is standing in the gap, you can keep God's judgment from hitting that nation. You know, people keep saying America's going to be judged. Well, someday America will be judged. But there are several righteous people in America that are standing in the gap and interceding and saying, Lord, spare the nation. Lord, you created our nation to be a light in the world. You've given us the resources to take the gospel. There are many, many good works, God works that are going on in this nation. I believe God is listening, and I believe the intercessors are holding back that judgment that is due America for her sin and defilement that flows through our nation. My, my. It's like Jay said this morning, you cannot turn on the news or turn on social media without reading something that is horrific when it comes to sin and depravity in man. That is what men are capable of. And when I say men, I mean mankind. When the Bible talks about men, it's talking about mankind. It's talking about human beings. And in our human nature, the scripture says there is nothing good. We need God. I need thee. Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need you, Lord. Because there's nothing good on the inside of me except for the Spirit of the living God. And when the fruit of the Spirit comes through my life, comes through your life, we have something to give and to bless people with. Yeah. Jesus even said, there is no one good but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of intercession. Let's go on. The power of intercession. There we are. And we're just going to cover this quickly before we close. Moses stood between God and Israel. Let's read Exodus 32, 7 through 14. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Let's wait right there. Moses was on the mountain of Sinai, and he was receiving the commandments of the Lord. And they believe that that all happened in the month of Elul. We are in the month of Elul right now. On September 1st was the changing of the months. It just so happens that that was the day of the new moon. It isn't because of the calendar we follow, but I'm talking about God's calendar, God's times, God's seasons. And this is the month of Elul. The month of Elul is a time of repentance. It's a time of examining yourself. It's a time of consecrating yourself and aligning yourself with God. It's repenting for the sins of the past and asking God to refresh you and align you with what He has for you in the new year. Because the last Sunday of this month is actually Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year for the Jewish calendar. And so the Jews are getting ready to move into the new year, and they take a month to examine themselves, to repent, to get before God. And history shows that all of this happened with Moses up on the mountain, getting the Ten Commandments again. The people were supposed to be in the, wherever they were, in the camp, consecrating themselves to the Lord, but instead they decided to make themselves a golden image. Okay? See, they corrupted themselves. We just talked about how much we need the Lord, because there's nothing good on the inside of us. And if you're running around with people and hanging out with people that don't serve God, then you're going to be corrupted along with them, because it is in your nature to follow along in a corrupted pattern. But God wants us to hang out with people that are righteous, that serve the Lord, that want the best good for you. You know, your friends wouldn't let you sin. They wouldn't let you take that drug. They wouldn't let you go to those places. They would stop you from going if they're really your friend. They are not your friend. They are friends of the devil. And so we've got to learn to consecrate ourselves and set ourselves apart. And that's the month that we're in. But let's read on. Because they corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. You see, quickly. It can happen really quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it. And sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. So God said to Moses, do you notice he said, your people. God was not claiming them at all. Have you ever, like a husband and wife, they'll say, hey, that's your child. You know, like, I'm not claiming that. That's not from my side of the family. You know, God was doing the same thing with Moses. He said, hey, these are not my kids anymore. These belong to you. They're your people. And then he says his wrath burned hot against them, and he actually wanted to eliminate them and start over. Now, if Moses had an ego problem, Moses would have jumped right on that and said, oh, yeah, I can be the father of nations. I can have my own nation. You know, they'll worship me. They'll glorify me. But you know what? Moses was a very humble man, and he wouldn't have anything to do with that. He was so humble that he was willing to stand in the gap for those people. And the Lord knew that he had to slay Moses to get to them. Because Moses was not going to let God forget that they were his children. Let's read on. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with the mighty hand? You see, Moses reminded God that these are his people. Moses was not taking responsibility for them. Hallelujah. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Do you see that Moses is instructing God in what to do? And God is listening. Let's read on. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. So Moses stood in the gap, and he pleaded with God on his word, on his oath, and on his promise. You see, Moses used what God had spoken prior to remind God of his word and of his promise. This is what intercessors do. They remind the Lord of the word of the Lord and the promise. And they stand in the gap to protect those that they love and to intercede and to pray for them so that even though they are in sin, that the wrath of God does not come to them, because it is Jesus' desire that no man should perish. And so we remind the Lord, give them time, give them grace, give them space that they might turn around, that they might come to their senses like the prodigal son and come back to you. This is what we do. We do this for our children. We stand in the gap for them. Yes, sometimes we don't want to claim them. It's like, I can't believe that's my child. You know, I can't believe they just did that. They know better. But remember, in a moment's time, they turned quickly against all that they had been commanded and taught, because their leader was not in the camp with them. I'm telling you, parents, this is a good lesson for parents to watch over your children. Don't stop talking to them. It doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are. It is our responsibility to teach them and to align them in the ways of the Lord. They might walk away. They might not want to hear you. They might just go, oh, forget it, Mom. Forget it, Dad. That doesn't matter. But it does matter. And your words have life. And God's word will perform what it's sent out to do. They have no choice but to turn around and come to the Lord. And even if it's at the last minute, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as they turn. As long as they give their heart to the Lord. And I encourage you this morning, if there's someone here this morning that has not given their heart to the Lord, today is the day. Today is the day to give your life to Jesus. We have no promise of tomorrow. This man's life that was taken, that had been stalking Cindy, he might have thought he had a lot more years to live, but his time was up. We do not know. We do not know. And you know what? Death comes to everyone, whether you're a good person or you're an evil person. It comes quickly. And we do not have a promise of tomorrow, but we do have a promise in Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven, that we can come into right standing with Him because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we can come to Jesus and He will forgive us and He will wash us and cleanse us with His precious blood. The blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us from all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness. His blood begins to cover our conscience. It's a supernatural act that takes place. It's not a literal blood that you can see, but there is a blood that covers us in the spirit realm. Jesus shed His blood for us. He went to the mercy seat and He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And you know there's life is in the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cries out for each one of us for mercy. Have mercy. Jesus is crying out for you today. Lord, have mercy on them. Bring them to a place of understanding. Lord, touch their lives. He's talking to each one of us today to draw us closer to Him, that we will be living epistles, that we will be the salt and the light in the earth, that we will pray for Israel. We will pray for America. We will pray for the lost. There is a harvest that is ripe. The scripture says the harvest is ripe. But the laborers are few. Will you be a laborer in God's harvest in this time, in this season, to reach out to the lost, to be bold in the Lord, to know that the Spirit of the Lord is already dealing with that heart? And when we walk on by and we don't say anything, then the Lord will send somebody else. Because He's not going to give up on that person just because you didn't do what the Lord asked you to do. So there is this is the time, church. It's time to reach out. It's time to come to Jesus. It's a come to Jesus meeting. Hallelujah. It's the month of Elul. There is a spiritual anointing in this month to humble ourselves, to repent, to ask the Lord to give us revelation of what He wants to work on in our lives. How He wants to change us and rearrange us. God is getting ready. Not only has He promoted Cindy, but He's getting ready to promote several of you. Because this is a church that is blessed and highly favored by God. The Lord said we might be small like the Church of Philadelphia, but we are a love church. And we have refused to allow Jezebel to work in the church. That's right. That's right. And so you are connected in the spirit as a spiritual family to a blessing and an inheritance far beyond what you can imagine or think. And promotion is on the way. Let's all stand up this morning. Father, I just raise your hand if you're believing for that promotion this morning. God's arranging and adjusting and just really shaking up some things in our lives. And Father, we just decree and declare that the plans and the purposes of God are coming to pass in each one of these hands that are lifted, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the transitions, God, that you have taken us through. Some of you are going to know by the end of this month, Lord God, oh, hallelujah. You are going to know by the end of this month that you are established and secure. Some of you are just feel like you've been shaken back and forth, but God says, I'm establishing you, I'm securing you, and I'm stabilizing you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promotion that comes from the Lord. We thank you, Father, for the quick work that you're doing in your people during this month, God. We decree and declare we will align ourselves as River of Life, family and friends to the will of God, Lord, that we will step into the Jewish New Year, Lord, aligned with your plan and purpose, Lord, and we decree and declare a harvest is coming in each one of our lives, Lord, a harvest of souls, a harvest of a promotion, a harvest, Lord God, of relationships, Lord. I thank you, God, you're healing right now some relationships. Lord, I thank you that you're cutting off, Lord, the destructive spirits that have been coming against some of these relationships. Some of you women don't have your husbands in this place. We decree and declare that the husbands are coming in. We thank you, Lord, that you've called husbands to be intercessors. And Father, I pray for that intercessor anointing, Lord, to hit those husbands, Lord God, that they will have a desire to stand in the gap, Lord, for their wife and children, oh Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're aligning us with your plan, with your purpose for us in this season. Oh, God, we thank you for this season. We thank you for a fresh anointing. And, Lord, for just the refreshing of our souls today, God. Renew our strength in you. And we thank you for it. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.